We need to have a church in order to find our calling. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it means the called out. You're called out of the world. You're separated from the world, but you are called out to become a part of the family. And I want you to understand this. The church is not an event or a place. It is a relationship. The very first thing that you need to find in terms of finding your calling, the very first purpose you have is to be loved by God. The very first purpose in this life is for you to be loved by God. It's not for you to love God, but for you to be loved by God. So we went over that last week, and this week we're going to go over the second purpose in the life, and that is my life. The second purpose in my life is that God made me for his family. God made me for his family. When I first started preaching, there was a lady who showed up one day, and she had a little bit of an accent, and I got to know her, and she had a real difficult time with me because she wanted to call me Father Neil, but I was 30 years younger than her. And I didn't want to be called Father. And so I just said, call me Neil. And she says, no, I have to have a title. And so she ended up calling me Preacher Neil. So Miriam was just a delightful lady. She was from Egypt, but she had a really interesting story how she came to know Jesus. Her husband and her were both Muslim, and her husband was brutal, to say the least. He beat her. He would take her on trips with him and put her in hotel rooms and take all the magazines out, all the reading material out, and unplug the TV and take the cord with him. Anything he could do, so all she could do was sit in a room. And so she prayed quite a bit. And when he would come back, they would go to dinner and they would spend the evening together. But all day while he was gone for his meetings and the different things he was doing, she was stuck alone in that room. And one day, in her boredom, she opened up one of the drawers and in there was a Bible. It was one of those Gideon Bibles that they leave in there. And she opened it up to John chapter 1 and verse 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And she said at that moment she realized that Jesus was who he said he was. She went on from there to understand more. She became baptized in the Greek Orthodox Church. She went on to study the Word more, but when she started coming to hear me preach, she happened to be in a Bible class. And you got to understand, when she became a Christian because of the Muslim religion, all of her family members turned against her. And not only did they turn against her, they tried their best to control all of her assets so she would have no money. She had to go through a legal battle to do it. When she became a Christian, her husband divorced her, but he actually took her and drug her down the street by the hair to throw her out of the house. So we're in the Wednesday night class, and we're teaching the book of Hebrews. And I got to this passage that was read to you just a moment ago. In verse 11, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. And then when I read this part, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, she squealed. And I said, are you okay? And she said, would you please say that again? Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Yes, that part. You see, she had lost all of her family members, and she was looking for a family. And she found that family in Christ. Your second purpose in this life is that God made you for His family. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And He did this because He wanted to. You see, God made you to be a part of His family. It's just why you're here on this earth. You need to understand that the church is God's family. And if you are a Christian and you don't have a church, you're just an orphan. Look at your sermon notes. God's family is called the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing these things to you now. Then even if I'm delayed, you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and the foundation of the truth. You see, God created you to be a part of His family, to be a part of the church. If you'll turn over in your lesson notes, I am called to belong to His church. Now, if you're here today and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you be a part of this one. But if you're just here visiting and you're not really looking for a church, one of the things you need to understand about your calling in Christ is that you need to belong to a church. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19 says, "For now you are no longer strangers and foreigners, you are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." You need to be a part of God's family. Romans 1:6, "Among whom you are all called to belong to Jesus Christ." We need to have a church in order to find our calling. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it means the called out. You're called out of the world. You're separated from the world, but you are called out to become a part of the family. And I want you to understand this. The church is not an event or a place. It is a relationship. I know when I was younger, I got corrected quite often because I'd say something like, "Are we going to church?" And my dad would say, "We're going to the church building." And the reason why he said that is because the church is not a place. The church is not an event that we have here on Sunday morning. The church is a relationship we have with one another. In other words, if you are a Christian and you are a member here, you're a part of the church. So when you say, "I'm going to church," you should be thinking, "I'm going to be with my brothers and sisters." Now, there's five benefits to belonging to a church, and this is why you need to have a church family. Number one, in God's family, I learn my true identity. In God's family, I learn my true identity. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, "Now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." And then Hebrews 2:11, "Both the one who makes people holy and those who are holy are of the same family, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters." You see, there's a lot of people in the world trying to tell you who you are and what you need to think. One of the things that I'm seeing over and over is that the media is trying to change our culture. It's trying to change who we think we should be. And we need to understand who our identity is, and we need to find that in Christ. And I got on your notes here, spiritual family is more important than biological family. Your spiritual family is more important than your biological family. Now, I know some of you have come from really, really rotten families. I've heard stories about what some of you have been through. fortunately, I was blessed. I had a great mom and dad. I had two mean brothers and a terrible sister, but other than that, it was okay. But I had a good family, so I know what a good family looks like, but some of you don't understand what a good family looks like. I was talking to my mom the other day, and she said something about what I did. She said, well, doesn't that make you feel stupid? And I said, no, Mom, you telling me that I'm stupid makes me feel stupid. And then she went on to say, I never, ever said that you were stupid. She says, I was so careful when you guys were growing up to tell you that you did things wrong or you may need to think about that, but I never called you stupid. And I said, you know, I don't think you did. And she says, I know I didn't because I got called stupid my whole life. And I wasn't going to put that on my kids. Your spiritual family is more important than your biological family. In God's temple, I am supported. In God's temple, I am supported. What it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, it says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple. In him you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Nancy started watching this old house, which is kind of surprising to me. Anybody in here know about this old house? It's been around for decades, and when I was younger, I used to get up early so I could see this old house because it was about building houses and things like that. Well, then I got into construction for a while, and I didn't want to watch it. But we were watching it yesterday. She and I were watching it together, and it was real interesting the way they had to do things in order to repair some homes in Asheville and some of the things that they did. But one of the things that I recognize when you're building a house is you've got to have firm foundation. And our foundation is Christ. But then we're being built together into something. But what happens? Let's just say we take out three of these rafters here. That would mean that the front part of the church here would be gone. And the same thing is true with the church when we don't have everybody working together. We lose our ability to be joined together. One of the things that I have noticed in my lifetime in terms of construction is it's very important to have the right materials in the right places. And if you're not a part of a family, you're not going to be able to be built up. Romans 1:12 says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. In other words, I need you, and you need me in order to build this building that God wants for us. And I want to say this, too, because I think this is really important for us to know as a church. The number one problem in our world today is loneliness. The number one problem in our world today is loneliness. We have all kinds of noise going on around us, but our biggest problem today is loneliness. If you will just start taking time to talk to people you run into, you're going to find out this is a very lonely world. Number three, in Christ's body, I discover my unique value. In Christ's body, I discover my unique value. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. In Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, just as there are many parts to the body, so it is with Christ's body. We are all part of it. It takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. I need you, and you need me. That's how we're going to discover our unique value in the church. You know, I love being a part of this church, and I really love being the preacher here. But what I love even more is the relationships that I have with different people. Because those relationships show me where my value is. Those relationships show me how I can help others, and we need each other for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 through 16 says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that doesn't make it any less part of the body. If an ear says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, that would make it any less part of the body. Somebody says, well, Neil, you know, of course, you're the preacher here. You're part of the body. Well, let me tell you this. This body needs big toes, too. Some of you may be a big toe. Some of you may be a pinky. But you need to be a part of the body. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. In Christ's body, we are all connected to each other. Number 4. In God's flock, I am protected and cared for. In God's flock, I am protected and cared for. Psalms 103, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. The first way that God cares for us is He cares for us by giving us shepherds. We are cared for by shepherds. Those are our elders here. One of the things that our elders do each meeting that we have, each elders meeting, one of the things that we do is we go through the names of the people in the directory. I think we've got 16 more to go or something like that, not many more to go. But we've been praying through the directory this year, praying for each one of you. It says here, it's talking about elders, take care of God's flock, His people, that you are responsible for. Watch over it because you want to, not because you are forced to. The second way we are cared for is we're cared for by each other, and that's through life groups. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, share each other's burdens, and this way obey the law of Christ. Now I'm going to stop right here because life groups are almost over for this season. But we're going to start them back up in February. February the 14th, Valentine's Day. We're going to do it on February the 14th. We're going to start, and that's the day where you can go to a life group, you bring a Valentine's card, and you say to the people in your group, will you be my Valentine? But life groups are really how you support one another. One of the things that's happening in this church right now is we're growing pretty rapidly. There's a lot of things going on. And I'm going to just tell you, it is impossible for me and the elders to connect with everybody every week. It's just impossible. We don't have enough hours in the day to do that. So we're using life groups as a way to support one another. And if you're not in a life group, I hope that you will be praying about that. And I was talking to somebody this past week, and they said, you know, I feel kind of strange going into somebody's home. I don't know. And I said, well, that case, let me introduce you to life group leaders so you can know who they are and you can go to their home. But be thinking about that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, so encourage each other and give each other strength just as you are doing now. Now, number 5. In God's vineyard, my life becomes productive. In God's vineyard, my life becomes productive. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, also as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, but it must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You need a church family. Well, how do you become part of a church family? If you've already been baptized, you've been buried with Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins, then you are a Christian and you can join the family that way. But if you've never been baptized, you've never taken on Christ, you've never been washed through baptism, then that's the opportunity for you to join the family. As a matter of fact, what happens when you are baptized is you, if you were coming here to be baptized, you would start over here and you get down in the water. And basically, I just ask this question: do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ died to save you from your sins? And you'd say yes. And then I'd say, upon that confession, I'm going to now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit for the remission of your sins. And at that moment, we will completely immerse you in the water. And at that moment, you become a part of God's family. You become a brother or sister in Christ. But what's really cool about that, as a seal, when you're baptized into Christ, God puts His Spirit in you. That is the most incredible thing that I can even imagine. And there are people that say, well, Neil, when I was baptized, I didn't feel God's Spirit come in me. And I'll say, that's okay. Because the work of the Spirit is different in every one of us. And that's the reason why we need every one of us. There is a young lady that I was baptizing, and I didn't explain to her that I was going to take her back, go forward. She wanted to go forward. I wanted to take her back. I finally was stronger than her, and I forced her down. I was going this way. She was going that way, and she actually realized what I was doing. She just let go, and she went backwards. Well, I had momentum. And I hit her head on the step. She came up out of the water, and she says, is that normally a part of it? And I said, no, but you're paying for your sins. But at that moment, when she came up out of the water, she looked at me and she says, I feel totally different now. And I said, why? She says, because I know all of my sins are forgiven. And I know that I'm saved. Her husband was baptized next. He was bigger than me, but he'd seen what happened when you fight with me. And he came up to me after the baptism, and he said, Neil, am I supposed to feel different like my wife? And I said, I don't know. I said, do you know your sins are forgiven? He says, yes. I said, that ought to make you feel different. Then what happens after baptism? God's Spirit is inside of you. See, one of the things that you do when you're baptized, you basically say, I'm going to kill myself so that Christ can live in me. And then it becomes a battle of remaining in Christ and getting yourself out of the way so that Christ can live in you. And this process, big church word, of sanctification takes your whole life. But at the end, God is going to make you complete. If you're here today and you need to be baptized, we're going to ask you to come forward as we sing this invitation song. If you're here and you need to repent of some sin, we're going to ask you to come forward and do that. If you need the prayers of the church, we're going to ask you to come forward today as we stand and sing.